Ruby.
Good evening.
Good evening. Are we the only two on?
So far, yes.
Okay, I'm going to mute my phone. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is Hannah Esther. I'm going to mute as well.
Okay, Hannah. All right.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Abacoa. Abacoa. Didula Chimina. Tati Serura Alpha Gimel Yutat Sadi Kabel Rinat Amha Sagbenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Yevavat Shamren Nun Gimodalit Yitkashin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sitkachar Tamid Gamren Etet Reish, Saditaf Gimel. Tasim Kadosh, Bero Tuvcha, Nael Adata, Tet Kufet, Tet Dunayim. The letters of the month of Tishrei, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Lamed that created the constellation Moznaim, the scales, which is the astrological sign of Libra. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed Ezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tiakatenu, Yodea, Dalumot, Shin Kufav, Tariyuta. Now that we've brought the energy of creation into this space, we're going to separate the negative aspect of that creation utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emet Notse chesed l'alafim, notse awam v'afesha, v'hata'a v'nakei. We're going to say the verses that connect to the various years, starting with the year 5777, the year of the goat, the year of the wake-up. First verse we're going to read is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyavai hinam. The first letters of each of those five words can be parsed into tzatz, ki, ach, which translates as to appear like brothers. The final letters of those five words can be permutated into dir, yam, which can be translated as a sea of tenants. There are two verses that we read that connect us to the year of the pause, 5776. But before we get there, I forgot about Joshua chapter 23, verse 8, which is a verse that has the name of the year, Tashin and Zion, in it, on an equal letters sequence of seven letters. Ki am Adonai Yohewahe. Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. Now we're going to go to the year 5776, the year of the pause. And the first of those two verses are 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ayu limat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot v'yichaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha. Yad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halivim yishrei levav, lehitkadesh me hakohanim. That verse has 25 words. We're going to take the first letter of each word, and we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe Lalahe Wawa Wa Yola Yo Alame He Aka A Rekaha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Idhu Ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade Ad. Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Sur Olamim. Then there are three verses that connect to the year 5775. Kamalo, the Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo Tishemi Meni. Lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavuia. Asher yitzabe sham wishavtem elai el nachon. Wehalakti itchem. Wichayim yeshno, baretz v'chipasti, oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kagalo, Lanessa, Yo, Bade, Ro, No, Mru, Yo. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam Timakom, Leamili Israel, Untati Vishakan, Taka Vilo Yergaz, Od Vilo Yosifu. Bene ablala anoto ba'asher barishona. This last verse was connecting to the year 5774, the year that has the energy of peace in the Middle East. Now we're going to read a pasuk from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Yitro, pasuk 29, which connects to the energy of certainty. L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu ishkin te b'chilu Urchimu u'chilu u'chilu urchimu L'yachda l'shem yud he b'vav he B'yichuda shilim b'shem kol Yisrael L'mud Torah mitzvah V'asok Torah mitzvah Vayino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Lach Maasei Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanehu Rabbi Abba Amar Bekam Atar Anenam Dekucha Bariku Kalma Diaved Leila Witata Kolaihu Yeshot Biovada Ikshot Belet lach mila bialma Bivae barnash Bedach yaleya Mineya ulan haka Peya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Ikshot Inun Wikola Itsterif Bialma. Now we're going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Tonight's handout is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 8, the second column from the left, the Advanced Teshuvah classes. When you open that up, please scroll down to the Tishrei holidays, the Tishrei classes, and it is class 6C, the Tishrei holiday of Yom Kippur, and specifically Hashem Hu Elohim. When you open that up, we'll be ready to start. The meaning of God is God. Now, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in English. But the Hebrew is Hashem Hu Elohim. It's a phrase that we say 7 times at the end of Nila, the 5th prayer of Yom Kippur. At that place where we are in connected to cosmic Bina, providing we have done all the proper meditations and the proper connections. This part of the Yom Kippur Nila prayer, or meal, is quite intriguing to me and to many others. If one reads the English translation, it just has to lead to questions. And yet I have never heard of anyone asking these kinds of questions. The phrase is, Hashem Hu HaElohim, which translates as, God is God. What questions would you ask? I have brought the essay from Rabbi Bar Sadak titled The Secret Power Within Hashem Hu HaElokim. One of the great proclamations made at the conclusion of Yom Kippur prayers are the words Hashem Hu HaElohim. Hashem, He is God. At the surface level, this seems merely to be a religious cultural proclamation that Hashem, the God of Israel, is the only true God, thus implying the falsehoods of all the other world religions and their gods. Yet Hebrew proclamations are built upon prophetic Kabbalistic design. Nothing about them is so ethnic, simplistic, and one-dimensional. The simple statement, Hashem Hu HaElohim, is not simple at all, and it is not mentioned in relationship to other religions or to their gods. This statement is indeed the foundation of Torah, but so very few actually understand its meaning. Even fewer know how to transform a spoken statement into a vibrant force that can actually influence and change physical matter at its most fundamental levels. Speech is sound. Sounds can vibrate matter at the molecular level. Thoughts are things. They are actual waves of energy. When thoughts can be focused, similar to the focusing of light, then concentrated thought can become like a laser beam with the power to cut and penetrate almost everything. When concentrated thought is channeled through the proper vibrations of sound, powerful results are achieved. Results that have very material physical manifestations. That paragraph is very important. That paragraph needs to be contemplated. It needs to be understood. It applies to the 72 names of God and the 72 names of the Tzaddikim. It applies to many other Hebrew words and energies. I'm continuing to read. The real name of Hashem, commonly referred to as Hashem, as we know is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. However, we do not pronounce this name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Instead, we pronounce the name Adonai. This is not because of myth that we have forgotten how to pronounce the name, or that the name is too holy to pronounce. We have never forgotten how it was pronounced, and there are still those who properly pronounce it regularly in the course of their secret works. These are the Baalei Shem Tov, the masters of the good name. You've heard me mention one of them called the Baal Shem Tov, the master of the good name, the founder of Hasidism that lived 300 years ago. And yes, that knowledge is still available to anyone who wants to learn it. The reason why the name changed was because of the shift in the collective consciousness of the children of Israel. They descended from being a people in their land with prophecy and temple. They shifted down into being a people in exile without divine direction, without national unity, and without national focus. The shift in consciousness caused there to be a shift in names. According to the Torah and Kabbalah, a name is not just a word, it is an actual living essence. The name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is not just a word or a name, it is a power sound, an actual conduit of living energy. When the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is pronounced in a precise manner and chanted according to the ancient prophetic traditions, it can unleash tremendous forces that have powerful effects. Without prophecy, without the Ark, and without the temple, the children of Israel collective lost the proper forms through which the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh can be channeled. Today, while the masses no longer use the proper vessel of the letters, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, to channel the name's full force, the concentrated energy that goes into it can still be tapped. The secret power in a name is not just in its spoken form, but more so in the concentrated mind and thought that channels into its recitation. In other words, before you speak a name, you think that name. The force comes from your thoughts. The sounds are just an effect. The name Adonai was chosen to replace Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh to more appropriately reflect the nature of the shift in the collective consciousness of the children of Israel. Adonai is being translated as Lord. However, it means much more. I'll give you an example. Adonai is spelled Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. If you take the first letter and the last letter, you spell the name or the word that means or translates as island. The middle two letters spell the word Din, which translates as judgment. Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is a island of judgment. The name Adonai has the same numerical value as the word Hekal, a palace, which is you may be familiar with from the writings of the Kabbalists from the past. A palace, a hekal, is a domain of residence. A residence contains its owner. It protects him from the outside, and it also conceals him from the outsiders. This physical universe of ours operates according to the laws of nature, as ordained by God in the beginning. The Hebrew name used in the creation story, as we know, is Elohim. The numerical value of this name is equal to the value of the Hebrew term Hateva, which translates as nature. Thus, the natural universe of physical form is the creation of Elohim. The laws of nature are the expressions of Elohim. Elohim is the force and power underlying the physical universe. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is a Hebrew word that can be seen to contain the root verb hoveh. Hoveh translates, it's the Hebrew word to be. The am, the is in English, to be. We normally don't use this word in Hebrew. In Hebrew sentences, you will have a noun, a verb, and sometimes adjectives and adverbs and so forth. But you don't have this idea of the verb to be in a normal Hebrew present tense statement. In its basic tense, a Hebrew verb is passive. However, when the prefix letter yud is added to a passive verb base, it transforms the verb from the passive tense into the active tense. Thus, the verb hoveh, hey vav hey, with a yud in front of it, yud hey vav hey, the holy name of Hashem, can be translated to mean active being, active essence. Or it can be translated as a being or an essence in action. Or simply, it can be translated as active existence. This name was not used to describe the physical creation and is only introduced later in the Torah with the manifestation of the higher, yetziratic spiritual reality. We thus realize that we have two parallel dimensional planes, one physical. In Kabbalah, it is referred to as the world Olam Asiyah, the world of action. Operating under known natural laws, and another dimensional plane in Kabbalah called Yetzirah, not physical, operating under less known and entirely different conditions. Yes, it has its own nature, its own natural laws, but they're not as well known. The natural universe is represented in Torah by the name Elohim, and the supernatural spiritual universe by the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The two universes operate parallel to one another and are supposed to operate and function in harmony with each other. The Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh universe, Yetzirah, is the source and sustenance of the Elohim universe, Asiyah. Our physical universe, Asiyah, emanates out of the higher dimensional plane, Yetzirah, and is completely sustained by it. When the order of creation is in proper balance, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh universe flows naturally into the Elohim universe. In this relationship, the physical universe materializes abundance in all its forms, and everything is in blossom, harmony, balance, and peace. However, the flow of the upper universe into the lower universe can be hindered. Natural law dictates that channels can either be opened or closed, or partially restricted. At Sinai, an interdimensional vortex was opened, enabling Yud-Heh Vav-Heh to materialize in this physical universe in a form that could contain it and sustain it. This form is the Torah. The body of Torah is the mitzvot. When Israel correlates their collective mind to Torah, they properly channel Yud-Heh Vav-Heh and enable its power and force to materialize in this physical plane and thus into the name Elohim. This is the purpose of Halakha, the Torah way, commonly but limitedly translated as Jewish law. It really means the Jewish path, the Torah way, the Torah path. The name Yud-Heh Vav-Heh was channeled originally through prophecy, through the Ark and the Temple, coupled with the pronunciations of the ancient Baalei Shem Tov, the masters of the good name. These people were the biblical prophets and priests. When the nation's deviant behavior caused a collective shift in the national consciousness, the power of Yud-Heh Vav-Heh was severely curtailed. It could no longer be properly channeled into the Elohim physical universe. Thus, the vessels of channeling and reception were either destroyed or removed. We therefore lost prophecy. Actually, the vessels of channeling were blocked so that the vessels of reception did not receive them. We lost prophecy, we lost the Ark, and we lost the Temple. We were left in a mental and correlating physical place, which we call exile. There can be no redemption from exile until such redemption is properly carried out. The inner channels must first be restored before the external channels can be restored. Or even if the external forms of Ark and Temple were replaced, they would still be nothing but empty, hollow shells. This was the situation regarding the Second Temple in Jerusalem. Without the internal shift of collective national consciousness back to the supernatural reality of the name Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, exile will continue, regardless of the external forms. Internal shifts in the collective national consciousness can be achieved through the focused, concerted effort of those in the nation who can steer the collective in the proper mental direction. Only they can realign focus away from Elohim and the natural and restore it to Yud-Heh Vav-Heh and the supernatural, thus enabling both to properly realign, unite, and flow harmoniously into one another. This is the true meaning of Teshuvah, return, commonly understood to be repentance. But in a Kabbalah sense, it's returning the physical world to reunite with the spiritual levels. Now we can begin to understand the meaning of the phrase, Hashem Hu I Elohim. This statement is no mere recitation of words. Rather, it needs to be an actual focus of consciousness that helps realign parallel universes to being parallel universes. When we recite the words Hashem Hu I Elohim, the sounds themselves need to be joined with intense mental focus. In Hebrew, we call this kavanah, mental intent. When we recite the name Adonai, we must not focus on that name, but rather on the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Adonai is the dwelling place, the palace, the Heikal of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is concealed within Adonai. Our mental focus is to make sure the two names are perfectly united and that the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh energy is properly channeled through its vessel, Aleph Dalet Nun Yod. Thus, when reciting Adonai, we mentally visualize the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and imagine its supernatural natural life, giving energy flowing, life-giving energy flowing into the name Adonai, enlivening Aleph Dalet Nun Yod, and enabling it to enliven our physical universe. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the inner conduit. Adonai is the outer conduit. This mental focus, this kavanah, is what we call in Kabbalah the Yehud of Havaya and Atnut. Havaya, like the word Hashem, is a term used to call the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Adnut is a term for the name Adonai. Yehud means union, unification. The two names together thus form a relationship of light and vessel, soul and body. Again, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the inner conduit. Adonai is the outer conduit. One is the source and strength of the other. One is the vessel and form of the other. One alone cannot be complete. A body without a soul is dead, and a soul without a body is a ghost. Therefore, when we pronounce Adonai, we contemplate Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Without this, there is no flow of energy, and thus no manifestation of the divine channeled through the recitation of the name. Mind and speech must be joined together, for one without the other is dead. For those who are thinking and asking questions, this paragraph, this teaching, relates to why we are saying Adonai Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Whenever we see the tetragrammaton, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in letters in our prayers. Havaya Adnut is the source of all life in the Elohim, in Asiya, physical universe. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the pure source that when it flows into this universe directly, without dilution in Adonai, brings with it an abundance that can transform the very subatomic structure of all physical matter in the universe. In our present fallen state of exile, we cannot ascend to the proper level to channel this flow of undiluted energy. We can't handle it. We don't have the vessel for it. We channel it the best we can through the name Adonai. It is not perfect, but it is the best that we can do at present. And without this, all life would cease to exist in this physical universe. Take a moment before I go on to understand the relationship, the Yud and the Aleph. Those two letters spell the word, as I said earlier, island. The hay and the dalid represents the doorway to the physical, or the doorway to Bina, the spiritual, in the first hay. The Vav and the Nun have a gematria of 56. The Vav and the Nun can be translated as "you are falling." The Vav and the Nun can be translated as Parnasa if we connect the Kolel. Adding 1 to the gematria of 56 becomes 57, the Hebrew word zan, representing sustenance. The fourth letter is the He, connected to the Yud, which is the upper worlds of the spiritual level of the world, the word name, Yah. Kind of interesting, it's kind of powerful, it's kind of something that needs to be contemplated. Continuing to read. Havaya Adnut needs to flow in order for there to be life. And to where does it flow? It flows in the substructures of this physical universe, into the very presence of the Creator underlying our physical reality. This is the source of natural law, represented by the name Elohim. By channeling Havaya Adnut into Elohim, we are essentially sustaining all physical existence. The indwelling presence of Elohim in every subatomic reality that defines for it its natural laws is called in Hebrew the Shekhinah, the indwelling divine presence. One of the first things that you need to realize is you're trying to channel energy of 4 letters or 8 letters into 5. Continuing to read. When we verbally proclaim Hashem Hu Elohim, we are doing much more than making a statement of faith. In our mental focus, we are actually moving very subtle energy forces that themselves nurture life. Our statement is an actual act of providing nourishment to our physical universe, Olam Asiya. We are focusing on the energetic reality, Yud Hey Vav Hey, of the supernatural source universe, Olam Yetzirah, and channeling its sustaining flow, Adonai, into a proper conduit of materialization. Havaya Adnut, and from the conduit out into the receptacle, Asiya Elohim Shekhinah nature. While the words Hashem Hu Elohim themselves are meaningful at the simple level, it is the properly placed mental focus on their real intent that unleashes real raw power that will have so many positive effects. Now that we have discussed the names Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Adonai, and Elohim, let me turn momentarily to the additional letters that form the statement, Hashem Hu Ha-Elohim. The Hebrew word Hu, He is spelled Hey Vav Aleph. The name Elohim is introduced with a prefix, the letter He. However, due to the nature of English grammar and syntax, we do not translate it as the. It would sound awkward to say Hashem, He is the God. So the He, the, is usually left untranslated, but it is never not said. However, in Hebrew grammar, the insertion of the preposition is entirely accurate and proper. So we have four letters, A, Bob, Aleph, A. The Hebrew letters that spell Hu Ha reside in between the two names, Yud Hey Vav Hey and Elohim. These letters, Hey Vav Aleph Hey, numerically add up to the value of 17. This is the numerical value of the word Tov, meaning good. It is no coincidence that this is found here. Yud Hey Vav Hey, through Adonai, channels the energetic flow of the higher universe, the Olam Yetzirah, into the lower one, Olam Asiyah. As I said above, this flow is the source and sustenance of all life in the physical world. This energy is not symbolic or mental in nature. It is real. It is the life force. It is life-giving radiance called Shefa. In Hebrew, we call it Nefesh. In the Orient, it is called by a more popular name, more recognizable term, Chi or Ki. This is the Tov, the good that we channel. The recitation of Hashem Hu Elohim is not limited to Yom Kippur. In our regular daily morning prayers, it is also recited in a very precisely placed section. When reciting the words, one should bear in mind that through the power of one's focus and concentration, one can actually transcend dimensional boundaries, tap into higher energy sources, and through the combined power of thought and sound, actually serve as a conduit of life force, energy from one universe to another. This is precisely how we serve heaven, and in religious terms, proclaim Hashem to be God, to be Hashem. Proclaiming Hashem to be God has lost much of its meanings over the variants of many centuries. In ancient times, when the competition between mutually exclusive religious systems was vicious, proclaiming the religion of Torah over the other religions and other gods was a vital thing. Together, the majority of the world believes in a supreme being of one sort or another. To proclaim this is not controversial. To proclaim that there is one God over all is acceptable to most today, whereas at one time it was not. To proclaim that Hashem is the God of Israel and Israel alone, excluding all others, is not the message of Torah, and never was Israel's message. Israel's message is that God is the God over all, without distinction or separation. Therefore, the message of Hashem Hu HaElohim is a universal one that can be embraced by all humanity. We need to learn to see beyond the limited focus of physical eyes and recognize the soul within the body. This is true of how we must interact with one another, and this is equally true of how we interact with heaven. Religious mythologies of separation must be delegated to the bookshelf of children's stories where they belong. Instead, we must focus on true and actual spiritual accomplishment, and not just on philosophical religious rituals that look good on the surface, but are actually empty inside. Only we can make the difference when we say, Hashem, Hu, HaElohim. After we say these seven times, we will spend 4 days preparing for Sukkot. Another nice metaphor that comes from our Kabbalistic tradition is that the nation is so busy during the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot that they have no time to sin. We have been doing spiritual actions that cleansed us in these last 10 days of awe, climaxing in the cleansing of Yom Kippur, climaxing in the elevation to cosmic Bina on Yom Kippur. This has allowed us to reach the level of a tzaddik. Now, as we go into Sukkot in 5 days, it is important to keep up these spiritual actions so that we do not fall from this level of righteousness. I hope you choose to stay righteous. Remember this spiritual truth. If you try, Hashem will help. If you want to stay righteous, try to remain righteous, and Hashem will help you to remain righteous. And even if you fall, Hashem will help you to raise yourself back to this level. If you want to know, that's the end of the written document. The daily prayers before the Baruch Hu, the call to public prayer, after the Ana Bekoa, the daily statement of the Ana Bekoa, we say Hashem Hu HaElohim twice. And then we follow that with the phrases Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yimloch, which we say twice. These three phrases Hashem is king. Hashem was king. Hashem will be king. That is the place to mention, to say, Hashem Hu HaElohim in your daily prayers. If people will remind me, we will do that in our saying of the Ana Bekoa, in our studies. Are there any questions? Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom to all. Have an easy time. And remember, tomorrow at 8 a.m., we will do our last folk ritual together.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.